Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 419. And we're going to talk today about how average married couples, I mean most married couples, overall, at large, and in our communities, settle and simply coexist. Many of them do. In other words, raise kids, pay bills, work on different things, but they don't really work hard on marriage. Many reasons for it. And again, this is not a shear that is trying to point fingers, Chalila. I'm looking at myself too. And there's reasons people are under a lot of pressure where it's sometimes hard to invest time and energy on your marriage. But it's basically, unfortunately, a fact that most people do not work hard on their marriage. And boredom sets in, or complacency sets in, or like this is the way it is. And the idea is to reverse that, to make a commitment to work on marriage as a goal in daily life, and to be proactive. Most people do not work on marriage. Sometimes, yes, when they hit a crisis or a real serious bump in the road, then they wake up, like a wake-up call, and then, okay, I neglected this, I got to work on it, which is also an accomplishment, at least you're doing that, to get back on track. Problem is when you get back on track, then you're complacent again and you slide back. The key really is that when things are going okay, to work hard then to connect and to grow. You see, it happens a lot just in human nature in general. Very often when we're in a tzara, we turn to Hashem. When things are going great, we often don't turn to Hashem as much. And we need to do the reverse, turn to Hashem even more when things are going great. And I read in several biographies of Gedolei Yisrael, different types, over the years, and a similar thing that they said, and it's fascinating that they all say that same thing, that people come to them with their tzaras, and they daven for them, and they don't relate afterwards. Let's say the tzara went away and they got a Yeshua, things got better, they don't come back to tell them that, which would give them a tremendous amount of simcha that Baruch Hashem they were saved, but they don't go back with that. Sometimes they'll come back with another problem, and then agav, they'll say, oh, that first problem worked itself out, but they wouldn't go in, and they want to hear this, they want to see Baruch Hashem things are going well. So that is just human nature. You know, if a marriage is smooth sailing right now, you're not hitting any bumps, you go on cruise control. But it's too important to go on cruise control. Marriage is one of the most important human relationships that there is. And it is so, so important to invest in it, in connecting. Most couples do not do this. They don't make a decision to work hard on their marriage. They don't make a decision to work on their connection. And they don't wait until there's a big enough problem where they have to deal with it. Now, in prior shiurim, we discussed, in the last year in particular, about different phases of physical intimacy with couples. And even in the more ideal one of being completely sexually active, and having a good time with each other and having pleasure with each other. But sometimes you hide behind that and you don't explore your marriage or work hard on your marriage in the other areas that need the work. Like we said, the emotional, the intellectual, the spiritual, the developing of friendship. So it is wonderful, whether in the newlywed period or in other periods where there is a real vibrant and exciting sexual connection. But again, you hide behind that. Well, our marriage is okay because that's going well. And they don't explore the deeper aspects that they need to do, because sooner or later that will phase out. And in the busy season of what we explained in the prior shiur, is also you're hiding behind it. You're hiding behind it. You're hiding behind work. You're hiding behind the schedules. You're hiding behind kids. And that's also, it's a sad fact. We use our kids to avoid dealing with each other, husband to wife, wife to husband. We sometimes say the other way around. Oh, we're so busy. We were so tired with the kids that we didn't have time for each other. But very often it's the other way around. You don't want to, you make a decision because it's uncomfortable or you're going to be vulnerable that you don't want to invest time with each other to work things out with each other. So you use that excuse and you use your kids to avoid your marriage issues. And kids get older, then it's work or retirement plans and whatever it is. So that is the idea. You know, the assumption of autopilot mode in marriage and assume that's good enough is not. The coexisting is an epidemic in our culture. It's a cult epidemic in marriages. It leads to separate, even if they don't get divorced, they're more or less divorced, just two living in the same house, but they're divorced. They're not really engaging with each other. And the key is to start re-engaging, to give the marriage the time and the effort that it needs. Now, the marriage, it's always, you're always going to say, for most people, it's hectic now. It's hectic now. I'm going to wait for the next kufa to go by. We procrastinate. We're going to wait till the, you know, things get calmer or the new zman changes or the spring comes or yontif comes or after that vacation. And that's when we're going to start working on the marriage. But right now it's too hectic or too this or too that. And the key really is we can't do that. It's always going to be hectic. There's never going to be the perfect time. The Stipler in his letters talks about it with learning, that if you're going to wait till you're in the mood, quote unquote, of learning, or when you have less oil on you, you'll never learn anything. You really need to just take the bull by the horns and learn, even a little bit here, a little bit there, and it accumulates. Same thing with marriage. Another thing that's important to know is that it's normative to have struggles. It's normal to struggle in marriage. You're dealing with two people that are different. You have sometimes twins that are born. Now, it could be the twins sometimes, very often, you know, you have different biological twins that were conceived the same time. I forgot what the terminology is, that they're exactly identical. And sometimes their mannerisms and you can't tell them apart and their personalities are the same or quite similar. But then you have scenarios where they have opposite personalities. One's an introvert, one's an extrovert, and so on and so forth. And if it's with twins or siblings like that, certainly with a husband and wife coming from different households with different parents. Now, the idea that it's normal to struggle in marriage is a healthy thought. It's a healthy thought, and I think I related this once before in the Shiurim. Rav Avigdor Miller, when I was still not married, I believe I went to his shiur, was a live shiur. I may have been by the 620, the Ten Commandments, and if I wasn't, I was by the unwritten ksuba. I was in one of those shiurim live when he talked about marriage, the entire shiur. I just don't remember the title of it. But that shiur crushed me, made me disillusioned, and I was actually upset at the time because he burst my bubble of what marriage is in my head. But looking back, it was the biggest chesed that he could have done for me and for the people listening. Now, he burst bubbles. He talked pre-marriage. He explained that, yes, you live a Torah life, and it could be a beautiful life, but the realism of marriage, of normal life struggles in marriage, is something that he stressed, that they're not going to always smell good, they're not always going to look good, you're going to have the dirty socks on the floor, and you're going to have this, and sometimes they're going to be nasty to you. You know, and I was listening to this when I was, and I said, this is what I'm looking forward to, this is what, you know, I'm you have this, yearning that there's going to be oy shalom and ava and achva and with good midas working on things. And it's true, we should strive for that. But he brought it down into realistic terms. And again, I was upset at the time, but looking back, that saved me. Why did it save me? Because in my own marriage, also when I came in and hit some bumps in the road, then I realized, hey, Rav Igdon Miller talked about this. He said it's going to be okay, and it's fine, and you're going to have a wonderful life together, but these bumps are normal. So the bursting of my bubble actually helped me, and you could still be very idealistic and yearn for a closeness and actually experience it over time. But the idea is, though, it's not doom and gloom. When you have marriage issues, it's not that the world is coming to an end. It's not the end of your life. If there's a problem, you address the problem. You gain dramatically by facing the problem and not by running away from it, not by pretending it's not there. And the way you don't pretend it's not there is by you daven to Hashem to help you with the problem you're recognizing that's there, to ask for siyata d'shmaya, to know how to handle it better, how to deal with it well, and to develop skills, and to learn communication, and to persevere, to keep on doing it no matter what. If you ignore things, it will not make it go away. That's just the general rule of marriage. There needs to be a proactive idea, a proactive way of doing this. And also, what's very important is you can solve a lot of problems before they become problems. What did I mean by that? Like we said just before, you don't have to wait till you hit a crisis mode. You anticipate that we're going to have differences. We already know from our discussions that we don't see eye to eye on this and that the other thing. And before it becomes a big issue, and now it's only a very small issue or a minor thing, let's sit down and talk and work this through and have a discussion about it. And there's so many things, Ezel Chacham Arayi Sanoilad, where you could avoid the big blow-ups and the real difficult things. Another thing that's very important is for a husband and wife to daven really deeply together, to daven for each other all the time. Sometimes, you know, I've heard this in the Goyisha cultures more. You know, it's not clear. It seems like by Yitzchak and Rivka, the Chazal say that each one was davening privately to Hashem in their own corner. It's not like they heard what each other was saying, although we really don't know. Sometimes with Tzadikim, there's stories with Sipuri Maisius where they actually davened out loud where others were able to hear them. Sometimes it was accidental, like the Chafetz Chaim in the forest, and they overheard him, and he really didn't mean that they should hear. Sometimes they would daven, they would say tzaddikim, whether they were by a Shabbos tish or wherever it is, or by a Suda with the Hasidim there. They sometimes all would basically turn into a tefillah and say a tefillah for the klal and everything with the Hasidim there listening. So with a husband and wife, it's hard to know. But if the davening together and together talking to Hashem at the same time and asking Hashem for help, in their marriage, for help in with their children, for help with parnasa, for help that there should be shalom and ahava between them. If they need an apartment, to ask together, please help us with an apartment, and we'll do that. You know, we're committed, whatever, or at least separately, but for each other. It's extremely important to try to do that. And you try by Shema Tefillah, try at least once a day to ask for Shalom Bayis. Definitely a big help. It does help. Tefillah always helps. You may not see it right away, but you'll see the payrus of it. And the idea is you don't try to change your wife, and you don't try to change your husband in a fundamental way. You just are compassionate, and you are accepting, and you grow. So this is really the key. This is something that I think we mentioned many times, where we need to learn these skills before we get married, and to understand what marriage is about, and to recognize that we have to work hard. And it's not, because we said many times also that the default mode of marriage is to drift apart, and we can't let that happen. That then we settle, we coexist, we drift apart. We need to work hard on our marriages. We need to be proactive about our marriages. We need to work on all aspects of it. We don't hide behind distractions or even real things. I'm Isaac in a mitzvah. I have to go to night seder after we have to take care of the kids with this and that. Very often, it's not pshat. I was so busy and therefore I did not have time to interact with my husband or wife. It's that they don't want to interact. They don't want to face a problem or whatever it is together. So they will find any other reason to, got to work with the kids with this, and I got to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah. Instead of what they need to do is to turn to each other and work things through. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped that we should change that trend within ourselves, not to settle, not to just coexist, to work hard on our marriages, to daven for it, to keep it going, and to recognize that when we do this and we work through it, we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest bracha of shalom. Bracha natzlacha.